Reading from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verses 25 through 35. Listen to God's word. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared for what's to come. A baby changes everything. Not a ring on her hand, all her dreams and all her plans. A baby changes everything. The man she loves, she's never touched. How will she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. And she cries. Oh, she cries. She has to leave, go far away. Heaven knows she can't stay. A baby changes everything. She can feel he's coming soon. There's no place. There's no room. A baby changes everything. And she cries. And she cries. Oh, she cries. Shepherds all gather round up above. The star shines down. A baby changes everything. Choir of angels sing glory to the newborn king. A baby changes everything, 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 everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My whole life has turned around. I was lost, but now I'm found. A baby changes everything, yeah? A baby changes everything. Those are the lyrics to a song by Faith Hill, and you may have heard this in the past at other Christmas seasons, and you might be able to guess at the title. The title is "A Baby Changes Everything," and she wrote the lyrics to that song. Well, a baby does change everything. Babies change our lives. We get new titles when there are babies. We go from being husband and wife to being mom and dad. From being mom and dad to being grandpa, grandma, poppy, nana, whatever it is we happen to be. We go from just being one child in the family to being a big brother or a big sister. And we have cousins and uncles and aunts. Our status can change. Our titles can change because of a baby. Certainly the paraphernalia we haul around changes because of a baby. A baby changes what size car we ought to have. Car seats, diapers, diaper bags, cribs, high chairs, booster seat, sippy cups, bottles. Did I mention diapers? Yeah, I did. Money for college. Oh, that's another thing altogether, I guess. Babies affect our lives greatly. It changed. Changed everything. Some of us remember that transition from before we had children till the first one, second, third, fourth one. Everyone changes everything. Babies also change our hearts. How could we know that we could have such love in our hearts? How could we know that the love we have for our spouses could just intensify when another little one is added to the family? It expands our hearts to love, but it also expands the capacity for sorrow as well. Who could have thought possible the pain that we may experience because of a baby or a young one coming into our lives and throughout their lives? Faith Hill got it right, I think. Absolutely right. A baby changes everything. In that song, of course, she was singing about not just babies in general, but about a particular baby. We know who that baby is that she's singing about. For that baby changed lives. Baby Jesus. Certainly changed the lives of Joseph and Mary. We learn that Joseph was not the biological father from the scripture, but in a miraculous way that belongs to the Holy Spirit, and that Mary, the mother who carried Jesus for those 9 months, was a virgin. And even after birth remained a virgin. It was a virgin birth. Now, depending on what church you may attend, you may say that that virginity was perpetual and went on for forever, or that that she did have biological children of the usual way after Jesus. The Protestant tradition pretty much affirms the latter with some scriptural warrant. The name of the child has to do with God, the child's identity, Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. The name Jesus itself is a Greek name that translates the Hebrew name Joshua. So when Jesus was running around as a little boy and his mother was calling to him, or Joseph was calling to him, he wouldn't have heard Jesus come here. It would have been Joshua come here. That was his Hebrew name. But we know his name as Jesus, which means God saves, or God is salvation. A contemporary preacher and writer by the name of Max Lucado has written in a book called When God Came Near this paragraph about the dynamic and relationship between Mary and her child, her baby, Jesus. Quote, she looks into the face of the baby, her son, her Lord, her majesty. At this point in history, the human being who best understands who God is and what he is doing is a teenage girl in a smelling stable. She can't take her eyes off him. Somehow Mary knows she is holding God. So this is he. She remembers the words of the angel, his kingdom will never end. He looks like anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. His cry, though strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he is absolutely dependent upon Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of the mundane. Holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat. Divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable through the womb of a teenager and in the presence of a carpenter. End quote. Excuse me for just a minute. I have to get a little drink of water. I apologize. Max Lucado also wrote in another place this section called 25 Questions for Mary that he'd like to ask Mary. I won't read all 25 of them, but here are a few of them. What was it like watching him pray? Lucado asked. Did you ever feel awkward, Mary, teaching him how he created the world? When he saw a lamb being led to the slaughter, did he act differently? Did you ever see him with a distant look on his face as if he were listening to someone you couldn't hear? How did he act at funerals? Did the thought ever occur to you that God to whom you were praying was asleep under your own roof? Did you ever scold him? Did he ever wake up afraid? Did you ever think, that's God eating my soup? The child changed their lives. The child came into the world to change lives. Because the child is God in human form. This man we encounter in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, which is the same chapter in which the birth narrative, the Christmas story, is elaborated in Luke. It happens just shortly after the shepherds have come and have left the family in Bethlehem. Simeon, an old man, a pious man, filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know, did you hear how many times the Holy Spirit was mentioned in there? The Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit led him to the temple. The Holy Spirit gave him the confidence and sense that Simeon wouldn't die before he saw God's Messiah. Well, Simeon is in the temple, and he takes Jesus, and much like we did with the little ones this morning, takes the baby in his arms. But he prophesies about this baby in Jerusalem. He prophesies that this baby is going to change the world. He's going to change lives. He's going to change the people of God, because in Israel, this baby is going to be the occasion for the falling or the rising of God's people. The baby is going to be a child that's going to affect not only God's people, the Jews, but he's going to affect the whole world, even those who aren't of God's people, the Jews, the Gentiles. He's going to change the world. And Mary, you have not known sorrow like you're going to know because of this child, because a sword is going to pierce your own heart too. We know that Simeon's prophecy came true. That's a sign of a true prophet, that he was a true prophet. We know from our vantage of over 2,000 years later that this baby would indeed change the world like no other person has ever, ever changed the world. James Allen Francis in 1928 wrote what is perhaps the best summary of this. It's entitled One Solitary Life. It goes like this. Here is a man who was born and grew up in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30 years of age, and then for 3 years was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a really big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place he was born. He had no credentials but himself. And while he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him, and he was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for his only possession on earth, his seamless robe. And when he was dead, he was taken down from the cross and laid in a borrowed grave through the courtesy of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone. And today, Jesus is the centerpiece of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that have ever ruled put together have not affected humanity like this one solitary life. You may know and have seen in the bookstores or in the book reviews that Bill O'Reilly, commentator, along with a man by the name of Martin Dugard, and he wants to make sure that Dugard, who's the researcher, gets the credit, has written several books about killing, about the death of significant figures. There's the killing of Lincoln, the killing of Kennedy that may have just come out, and he's written one entitled The Killing of Jesus. I think I want to make sure that's the title of it. Yeah, it is. Killing Jesus, not The Killing. Killing Lincoln, Killing Kennedy, Killing Jesus. And he says this in the postscript. These are O'Reilly's words. He says, both Martin Dugard and I learned a tremendous amount while researching and writing this book. But one intriguing question and a profound statement of fact stand out. First, the question. Why did thousands of common people seek out Jesus of Nazareth? That's the question. Why did so many people seek him out and follow him? And second, the statement of fact that he gives is this, very consistent with that one solitary life. He says this. Second, there is no doubt that Jesus of Nazareth is the most famous human being the world has ever known. But Jesus had no infrastructure. He had no government behind him. He had no corporation. He and his disciples depended upon the charity of others for food and shelter. And they had no organization other than a dozen faithful followers. In the history of mankind, no one has achieved worldwide fame with no outside resources whatever. And then he goes on one other sentence. Since his death, Jesus has played a continual role throughout history. No one has changed the world the way that baby born in Bethlehem would change the world. Because the baby came to change the world. That was the mission. That was the purpose. That's the reason for the season. Jesus, of course, is. But the reason he came is to change the world. So, he's come to change us as well. It's not just some abstract world. It's not just affected people 2,000 years ago and maybe on up through the Middle Ages. He's changing lives now. He's changing lives today, just like the Holy Spirit changed Simeon's life in that day, in that moment. So God's Holy Spirit, the spirit of this child, Jesus, comes to change our lives. The prophecy of Isaiah was, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What the angel told the shepherds out in the fields who were watching their flocks by night was, to you this day in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. To us, to you. Having this child born to us, born in us, is life-changing. The Apostle Paul says, and I stated it as part of our assurance of pardon today, that if anyone is in Christ, we might turn it a little bit and say that if Christ is in anyone, they're a new creation. The past is finished and gone. Everything becomes new. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the birth of Christ. That's why Christ was born. That's why we have Christmas, to change the world. change you, to change me. Has Christmas succeeded? Lastly, a New Testament scholar who taught at Princeton Seminary a number of years ago by the name of Norval Gwendenhaus wrote this in his commentary on the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the Christmas narrative. He says this, and with this we'll close. When a child was born in Bethlehem, in the humblest circumstances, a new and unutterably glorious song was born in the heart of certain people. And during the years he spent as man on earth, he brought joy into the hearts of many. But throughout that time, ever since the prediction of the pious Simeon that a sword would pass through Mary's soul, the joyful tidings of the angels at his birth were obscured by the dark shadow of the cross that fell over his life. This shadow became darker and darker until when Jesus had to endure the dereliction of God on the cross, nature itself was enveloped in darkness as a sign of the black night into which the Lamb of God was plunged for the salvation of sinners. But the Son of God, who is life itself, was mightier than death and darkness, and arose triumphantly from the grave. Then the glad tidings that had been proclaimed at his birth and public appearance resounded through heaven and earth with irresistible power. And ever since then, the world has been filled with a bright light and a beautiful song, which through every century have given true life and joy to millions, such as had never yet been experienced upon this earth. For Jesus had conquered, so that we also may be more than conquerors. As the risen Lord, he raises us from spiritual death to true life, and at his second advent, he will also cause us to arise from physical death with celestial, glorified bodies to everlasting bliss. End of quote. A baby changed everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.